Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news, health, research, and we're here still after the eclipse, guys. Imagine that.
Well, I was just told that this middle camera is a little bit dark, so it must be an effect of the eclipse.
It's the eclipse. It's science, man. You can't argue with science. You know what happened. I told you guys the last couple of weeks the whole thing was complete theater to get everybody all spooked out again and have more emergency and you know, emergency orders.
And you know what bothers me with this? I'm going to pontificate, my friend. I'm going to vent. And this is going to be venting.
Oh, okay.
Pontification is over something important. This I'm venting.
Venting, okay. Get it out. We're live. You know,
What ticks me off with all of this stuff, Austin, is when they make all these stupid things, they say all these stupid claims and all these crazy things are going to happen and nothing happens, and they don't come back and say, hey, oops, we made a mistake, we're sorry. They don't say that.
No, not at all, ever. They don't ever try to even...
They work the whole country up into some frenzy, all right? And, you know, and everybody's, oh, my gosh.
I was getting emails left and right, man.
People emailing me,
what's going to happen? What should we do? How prepared? I'm like, dude,
yeah, years ago, we had a guy come on the show. And it was an imminent invasion from the southern border within days. Remember that one?
Well, we've been having that for a while now.
Yeah, but he was talking about Chinese troops coming across the border and Russian Spetsnaz coming across the border. And then he had absolute top intel that this was going to happen with like 72 hours of invasion of the United States. I quickly kind of stepped away and said, well, nice having you on today. We got to go. And then I talked everybody off the ledge and said, this is not going to happen.
Yeah.
That was years ago. It still hasn't happened. And that's why we try to tell you guys, that when they do this stuff, when it's the tidal waves or the meteorites.
Well, we talked about it on the show that one time with your friend with the tidal wave. I was going down to Miami on vacation, which isn't a place I recommend to go on vacation.
Horrible.
But I was going down there, and I remember you called me up and said, Austin, one of my friends is talking about the tsunami that's going to hit Florida. Yeah, I said, all right. And then the guy calls me up. Oh, dude, you better not go to Miami. The tsunami, it's going to happen
20 years ago.
This weekend. It's going to wipe out the entire state of Florida. And I said, well, if that's the case, I'd rather be in Miami because I'm going to get a front row seat to it if this is the kind of party we're going to have. And, of course, there was no tsunami. Nothing happened. And it was the end of the – and the issue we've run into now, and you've seen this a lot, with social media and YouTube and likes and views and subscribes and fear porn titles and all the algorithms, there's so many alt media guys now that are putting information out there that in most cases is not even remotely accurate or vetted whatsoever. It's simply hyped up fear porn from some minuscule comment that somebody makes somewhere that's not even accurate, and they spin off of it and try to make it gospel. You got to be really careful of that now, guys, because about 70-80% even the alt media is trash. I'll be honest with you.
90%.
Yeah, I mean you don't even give as much credit.
No, it's bad.
No.
There was a guy who's a preacher. Jewish boy. He claims to be a Christian. And he's a Kabbalist. And he's always running around doing that Vulcan hand sign that, you know, Spock used to do, which is a Kabbalah sign. Basically, it's a curse. And he's running around in these Christian churches doing this stuff. And he's really talking about, you know, rebuilding the third temple, et cetera, et cetera. And you start looking at his research, his older stuff is all Kabbalah. But yet he claims to be a born-again Christian now. And a few years ago, he had a big conference up in D.C. And it was all about the second coming and who the Messiah was. He never once, and on all the literature that I looked at, mentioned Jesus. He was also a big Y2K guy, on and on and on and on. And what they do also, they build their notoriety with this nonsense. And all of a sudden, they become a household name.
Well, a lot of times, they'll hit a lick on one thing. They'll be right on one event, and all of a sudden, they blow up on it.
Well, yeah, this guy's been right on nothing. But he makes all these crazy claims all the time. And I've called him out by name on the show. I'm not going to do that today. And I've actually quoted stuff that he said, and the crazy he's praising Hebrew over the audiences and all this kind of nonsense, and it's all about this Jewish movement of bringing the Old Testament and incorporating all of the rituals back into the New Testament, into the New Testament church. It's nonsense. Okay, we have two separate testaments, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The New Testament is the good news through the blood of Jesus. And when this guy throws a conference up in D.C. and never mentions Jesus in any of his brochures, you got to ask yourself a question. Does he believe Jesus is even the Messiah? And then he comes in with that Vulcan hand sign mess, you know, and I'm like, come on, guys, don't follow people like this. But then because some of these bigger churches and get on there, he's been on a lot of Christian TV. He starts getting this big name for himself. And to me, I'm going to ask you guys a question. How can salt water and fresh water flow from the same spring? The word says, how can he be promoting one thing and promoting something totally different? How can he be practicing Kabbalah and talking about Christianity when the Kabbalah is directly from the Zohar, which was written in 72 AD, which took all the ancient Egyptian and Canaanite religions to combine them to a how-to primer of witchcraft, sorcery, and demonic possession, and basically demonic worship. How in the world could he come in now and talk about Christianity? I don't understand any of this stuff.
Well, and that's why, again, like we just said a second ago, you got to really look at the background of what people, when you start listening to them, what they're putting together, what if they're putting together is actually legitimate on their background. And that's one of the reasons why I bring up so many health topics on this show, to keep everybody grounded in facts. And that's why I bring up research studies.
You just segued.
Let's do a health story. Well, no, this is a pretty cool one, because somebody asked me about this the other day. They were asking me about COVID patients and vitamin D3 levels. And this goes back to the research study that came out the end of last year that actually
we've talked about for years.
Yeah, this came out of Japan. And they said hospitalized COVID-19 patients exhibited improved outcomes after being given treatments of vitamin D, according to a study from Japan.
Duh.
Imagine that. The study, published in Science Direct, aimed to evaluate how vitamin D could help in preventing severe illnesses and mortality among hospitalized COVID-19 patients. It found that vitamin D deficiency was highly prevalent among all COVID patients, and supplementing their diets with additional vitamin D supplementation improved symptoms and aided in recovery. For treatment, the researchers used vitamin D and the vitamin D analogs as drugs used to treat disorders caused by vitamin D deficiency. The patients in the study were hospitalized on two occasions between April 2021 and October 2021, primarily during the Delta variant. Oh, remember the Delta variant? Oh, it's here.
Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, Transformer. And then between July 2022 and September 22, which was the Omicron variant, the next Transformer variant. Researchers gave vitamin D treatment to 122 out of 312 COVID-19 patients in the study, and with the remaining patients placed in the control group. The vitamin D group included patients who had already basically been hospitalized. Both vitamin D and control groups were proved standard of care. The study discovered that patients in the control group had a more severe profile of COVID-19 compared to the vitamin D group. Vitamin D deficiency was found in over 70% of all patients they tested. The proportion of the patients who were prescribed the vitamin D remdesivir were significantly higher than in the vitamin D group, meaning the groups that were given remdesivir and having more health problems had even lower amounts of vitamin D level than anybody else in the groups. Imagine that. Remember, vitamin, the thing about remdesivir, what it did was, it's an antiviral, but it completely knocked out the organs. Well, the liver has to process vitamin D. If the liver isn't functioning, then the liver grenades, vitamin D can't be processed properly. All the organs in the body start going to mush on remdesivir. They showed in the clinical trials in 2016. They looked at it over when they did the testing over in Africa with Ebola patients. They looked at it multiple times where there was no facts that remdesivir was actually safe to use, nor was it effective as an antiviral, other than the fact that it just killed everything. So the next thing they had here, they said patients in the vitamin D group registered as significantly lower frequency in hospital mortality and basically had less side effects from COVID from COVID-19. The study also cites other research and reviews the highlight potential benefits of vitamin D to COVID-19 patients, including the fact that vitamin D supplementation reduced mortality and reduced symptoms of COVID-19. So I'll post this article on the website. One of the reasons why, and you know the crazy part about this, and this is my big pet peeve about this whole situation. When we talked about this in 2021, which is where they looked at the test subjects
3 years ago,
everybody got shadow banned.
We did.
Everybody got shut down. Even doctors, frontline doctors, got blocked.
Oh, we did.
Social media, Instagram, Facebook platforms, everybody got blocked. They said it was misinformation.
But we were blocked 7 years before.
Oh, yeah.
We've been blocked forever.
Well, we even tried to put it out there. We put it on our old Instagram account. We were putting stuff out there. The CDC kept blocking it and shutting it down. And it was crazy to me is now the research is coming out saying, oh, by the way, people that have higher levels of vitamin D3 in their blood have lower issues with COVID-19 and lower mortality rates and lower side effects. Nothing to see here. Look at the eclipse. Make sure you stare at the eclipse tomorrow or yesterday.
You know what's so funny is that I had a friend of mine. He got sued by the federal government because he said the vitamin D was good as far as for the immune system. Now, he never made claims with COVID. He just said good for the immune system. And it cost him millions of dollars of legal fees. And see, that's how the justice system works. It punishes people for telling the truth, whether they are guilty or not guilty.
Yep.
They basically are forced to basically bankrupt themselves or force themselves to start selling and liquidating everything just to pay legal fees. And when you have 600, Roger Stone told me that when they came after him because he said something while he was under oath to Congress that they said later on that wasn't accurate, that they sent 600 attorneys after him. 600. Now, and it bankrupted him. because, you know, because you all of a sudden 600 people start filing briefs and everything else, or whatever heck happens with all that. How do you compete against that with a single attorney? It overwhelms anybody.
Well, they can't keep up.
No, you have to hire an entire law firm, and then pretty soon you're out. You know, $400 or $500 an hour.
Oh, yeah. You know. Got named partners at $500 an hour. Well, they're working on stuff all day.
And one more thing, to be real careful when you sign contracts like with attorney firms, because if they have a blanket fee that they charge per hour and they don't give you a set amount of time they're going to have before they ask you to say, okay, they can run up a $40,000, $50,000 bill like that. You know,
yep.
And then they send you a bill, and then they'll put in there that they're going to have binding arbitration if you don't pay the bill, and they want you to sign it all. And in fact, it happened to a friend of mine here recently. Let me tell you what it said. They had they basically had been having hired an attorney firm. Their attorney firm sent them an invoice, said, this is what we charge per hour for all of our attorneys, and basically fixed costs, you know, will have to be approved over $500.
Well, hard costs.
And so what it looked like is that anything over $500 for the attorney fees were going to have to be paid or have to be approved by you. Didn't say that. They were talking about postage. Postage.
Hard costs.
Any hard costs over $500, like for postage, had to be approved by you. There was no cap on the attorney fees per month. None. And on top of that, they wanted you to sign binding arbitration. So in the event that they sent you a $50,000 bill, that you would have to pay it. You could not take it to court. You could not take it to a judge. You could not take it to a jury. You would go to an arbitrator who would look at what you had signed and said, you owe this. So you couldn't appeal it. So if they sent you a $50,000 bill, it was whatever. So I advised my friend, you tell them anything over $500 has to be approved for you, including attorney's fees, and there will be no binding arbitration. Arbitration is okay, but not binding. Attorney firm never got back with them because they knew what they were doing. They were setting him up. So it's crazy. So all this half-truth stuff all the time with these guys.
Yep.
By the way, an NPR journalist is now blowing the whistle on the network's obsession with DEI and the progression, you know, like how they basically ignored Hunter Biden's laptop and how we lost America's trust. Veterans business editor Yuri Berliner wrote an essay for the Free Press on NPR. He believes the newsroom changed for worse after the 2016 election. He says the killing of George Floyd, which, by the way, was a tragedy, also reinforced a leftist editorial line. The veteran NPR editor has blown the whistle on how the publicly funded broadcaster has become an activist organization obsessed with pushing progressive ideals. Uri Berliner, a business editor at NPR for 25 years, has offered a glimpse into his belief that NPR has gone from a respected information source to one that cannot be trusted. And this is one of the reporters, guys, to honestly cover the news. In an essay, the Free Press, Berliner wrote and notes, while NPR had always had a liberal bent, the publication was not a knee-jerk activist or scolding. Something he says changed when Donald Trump entered the public arena. Berliner uncovers how the NPR knowingly kept information from its audience during the 2016 and 2020 presidential elections. He says the editors were quick to jump on claims that Donald Trump was a Russian agent, which he was not, but far more reticent to cover their subsequent debunking. And a similar story with COVID lab leak theory, which NPR continues to discredit, as well as the Hunter Biden laptop, which Boston declined to cover, Berliner says. Today, those who listen to NPR read his covers out online find something different that distilled worldview of a very small segment of the U.S. population, Berliner writes. In other words, super hardcore liberal leftist communism. Berliner tracks the last days of the old NPR to 2011, when he said it still had a leftist tilt, but it still bore a resemblance to American at large, and the audience that described themselves as 26% conservative, 23% moderate, and 37% liberal. But by 2023, only 11% described themselves as somewhat conservative. So all of this is going on through the Frankfurt School and these people that are coming in and saying, we're going to change the course of American history. And this time we're going to do it through NPR, and we're going to tell you the lies of the communist doctrine, and we're going to push it through our media. And we are government funded. In other words, your tax dollars pay for us to come and lie to you and produce propaganda at an alarming rate. So you stop and you look at it, you go, wow, this is absolutely nuts. Speaking of propaganda, you know, another judge has now reduced the Roundup verdict against Bayer from $1.5 billion to $550 million. Roundup is basically a horrible, horrible, you know, herbicide that comes in and has caused over 20 different types of cancer. And now Monsanto and Bayer and everybody else are going in and saying, hey, look, we're going to set the cap on this. We're going to keep appealing this. And I urge you guys, if you're going to use Roundup, do it in moderation. I don't recommend it at all. I don't like this stuff at all. I recommend that you use salt. Salt's a whole lot better. But if you have to use it, just be careful and don't get it on your skin. Really, really, really important. By the way, Blackstone is making a $10 billion bet on multifamily units as real rents begin to reaccelerate. This is nuts, but this is the way it is. Blackstone's $10 billion acquisition of Apartment Income REIT be taking the company private. The move signals the firm's bullishness on the rental housing market, especially when rents are beginning to reaccelerate. Guys, the rent is going to go through the roof, and it's still going to go through the roof because, as Klaus Schwab said yesterday on our show, you know, by 2030, you'll own nothing, and you'll be happy. That's the goal here with these clowns. And again, it goes back to the international banking community, the Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Satan that we talked about in depth yesterday, who's doing all of this mess, including pushing the communist liberal agenda on all of these talk shows, especially NPR. I remember years ago, I was on a show, you know, with John Jay, and I think it was John Jay and Jan Rich, and I'd followed them through Cincinnati, through Houston, through Tucson, all the way out to Phoenix, and we'd been doing shows with them for years and years. And they brought me on. I was on for like 3 hours one morning with them from like, you know, 6:30 to morning to 9:30. And we were talking about alternative health, et cetera, et cetera. And apparently I got the powers to be pretty hacked off as far as from the top people there, because I was talking about alternative health care, and I have not been invited back on. That's been many years ago now. But the reality is that I know the power of media and what they can do when they censor you. And that's why alt media, the 10% that tries to tell the truth, that we do the best we possibly can, you know, they don't like us being here. And, you know, a lot of alt media broadcasters and a lot of their family members have died in the last few years. And the sad part about it, you have to ask yourself a question, you know, what the heck's going on with all this? By the way, Melania Trump is, you know, she's doing a host of the fundraiser for the pro-homosexual Log Cabin Republicans. Former First Lady.
Log Cabin Republicans?
Mm-hmm. For former First Lady is helping the homosexual conservative group, Log Cabin down there at Mar-a-Lago. You know, so they're going to be doing a big thing for them. And, you know, this is crazy. Remember, Trump had this guy named Roy Cohen, who was his best buddy back in the 70s and 80s. And they used to hang out together. And Cohen was pretty much a flamboyant homosexual in New York City. And Trump's real pro-gay. Always remember that. You know, and here's a little quote here. While running for president in 2016, Trump criticized North Carolina law banning male students from female restrooms. Wait a minute. Trump criticized the law and said that anyone should be allowed to use the bathroom when they feel is appropriate. This is Trump. By the time he was in office, he flipped on the issue, rejecting Obama-era guidelines on the subject and announcing that the Department of Education would no longer indulge bathroom-related discrimination complaints. A supporter of same-sex marriage, Donald Trump is. Trump nominated a variety of pro-LGBT officials to various government posts and judicial vacancies and continued an Obama-era executive order on gender identity non-discrimination and U.S. support for international recognition of homosexual relations at the United Nations Human Rights Council. His campaign actively courted LGBT-identifying voters with rainbow merchandise. At the same time, Trump prioritized religious liberty and was generally aligned with Social Security conservatives against the gender fluidity movement, from banning gender-confused soldiers with the military, protecting women from having to share close quarters, such as in homeless shelters, with men claiming to be transgendered. His White House also opposed the so-called Equality Act and maintained a biological definition of sex, which is good that he did all that. It says third-party candidate Robert F. Kennedy is a wild card. He's also pro-homosexual. Polls have currently Trump leading Democratic Biden. And despite the 45th president desertion from conservative orthodoxy on sexuality and other issues, he swiftly amassed endorsement from Republican, you know, office holders. Now, I brought this up just to let you know that Donald Trump says a lot of stuff one way, and his rhetoric goes a different way. But what have they done to us again, Austin? They've done the same thing. They've given us two people to choose from again. Now we know Kennedy is in the pocket of the World Economic Forum with Klaus Schwab and those gangs with his running mate. We talked about that the other day. And now we've got Donald Trump hosting Log Cabin Republican stuff here.
I didn't know what Log Cabin Republicans were. I just looked that up. I just learned something new. I've never even heard of that
it's
before.
It's homosexual
Republicans. They're gay Republicans, which, yeah. I mean, yeah. More power to them. Have fun with that. Yeah, but I'm just curious. I've never heard of it before. I just looked it up, Log Cabin Republicans.
Well, to me, what I would do, I would just – if they wanted to be a Log Cabin Republican, they wanted to vote for Donald Trump, I would just let it go and say, but whatever you guys do.
Well, dude, everybody's got their own right to vote whoever they want before. Yeah, I didn't know. I'm reading about it outside.
Well, no. Here's the thing.
Learn something new every day, guys.
If a person, you know, is gay, that's their choice. You know, and what they do in their bedroom is their own decision. Now, I'm definitely, obviously not gay. And so to me, I don't understand any of this stuff. And to me,
I don't think you got to say that. I think I was pretty clear on that.
I think that's pretty clear. But the point is that, you know, I just thought of a joke that I'm not
going to
tell.
And you're the one that talked about us going to the gay bar, though. I mean, that you're the one.
We didn't go to the gay bar.
You said it on the show, and I had to stop you. I just whoa.
That was because a bunch of people got shot.
It was horrible. It was a horrible situation.
But we didn't go in. It was all boarded off. But the point was, you know, it's just people are going to be people. Homosexuality has been around for a long time. You know, I'm diametrically opposed to it from a conservative standpoint, a Christian standpoint. But if a person is going to go that way, if they want to vote for Donald Trump, yeah, I'd rather. And I'm going to say something else, and I've said it before in the show. If I'm in a trench, I'm in a warfare trench, and somebody's on an M60 beside me, and I've got an M60, and we have an overwhelming force coming against us, I could care less if they're gay. As far as the person maintaining,
doesn't bother me one bit as long as they're weapons qualified. Dude.
Weapons qualified, don't shoot me in the back of the head. I'm good.
I
want them weapons qualified. So let's not be in the situation where everybody gets divided. That's what they're trying to do all the time.
Anyhow, exactly what they're trying to do.
But I thought this was an interesting article with Melania. I have no idea what I covered. I probably shouldn't.
Yeah, one thing I want to switch back to. I want to go back one step. You brought this up when I pulled this up. This is crazy here. You're talking about BlackRock. There's an article here that came at the end of last year, and I covered it briefly, but I don't think it got enough coverage. It says 44% of all flipped single-family home purchases were by private investors in 2023, primarily BlackRock. 44% of houses flipped in 2023. Almost half the houses in the United States
were flipped. That shows you how many houses they own.
Golly, dude. And so then I was reading another article here, and it's talking about exactly what you just said, is they're trying to maintain the aspect to where people are only going to be able to be renters, and they're going to make it so difficult to buy a house with the interest rates and the restrictions. I was talking to somebody a while back ago, and they were looking at buying a house. Dude, the mortgage brokers, they wanted like their last 3 years of full tax returns, not W-2s. They wanted like 3 years of tax returns. They wanted the last 6 months of bank statements. I mean, all this crazy information so they could give them, you know, a 8% mortgage. There'd be some generous bankers, you know, we'll give you 8% mortgage rate. And I'm sitting there looking at it, and he was telling me about it. And I'm like, did you realize how crazy this is? I said, because if you just throw on a backpack and walk across the southern border and say, giddy up, I'm illegal, they're going to be like, oh, cool, fantastic. Here's a 0% zero down home mortgage that you can have right now in your house. And we'll give you a free credit card, and we'll give you a free cell phone, and we'll give you a free flight to wherever subdivision you want to go to.
And we'll pay you every month.
We'll pay every month. I'm like, but they're over here literally wanting to do full investigation and basically audit your finance for the last 3 years to see if you can approve, you know, a $300,000 house. And it's just crazy to me. Also, too, in other news, speaking of crazy information that's going on, this is nuts. This just came out in the Epic Times. Judge ordered January 6th defendant's computer to be continually monitored for disinformation as part of his ruling.
Unbelievable.
Now, the appeals court overturned this. The U.S. Court of Appeals mandate sends the case back to the district court. The defense attorney says the ruling prevents the judge from acting as the Ministry of Health. This is nuts here. This is Daniel Goodwin, which I've talked about him before. The sentencing included that his computer be monitored continually by the FBI for any disinformation. The court on March 26 published a mandate sending the case back to the U.S. District to remove the computer monitoring requirement as issue of his sentencing judgment. Judge Walton had no legal basis to issue the special condition nor any legal right. The three-panel judge of the U.S. Circuit of Appeals Court ruled the judge plainly erred in imposing the computer monitoring. Judge Gregory Katzen issued a per curiam order vacating the monitoring provision. Judge Walton, who, when imposing the 60-day jail sentence in June 2023, said Mr. Goodwin spread disinformation during a broadcast of Tucker Carlson on March 14, 2023. This is crazy, guys. Judge Walton ordered that Mr. Goodwin's computer be subject to continual monitoring and inspection by the FBI by a probation agent to check to see if he spread January 6th information during the term of a supervised release. This is crazy, guys.
It's Big Brother, buddy.
The judge also referred Mr. Goodwin spreading alleged misinformation using the term interchangeably with disinformation. Mr. Goodwin, 35, of Texas, pleaded guilty last year on one misdemeanor count of entering and remaining in a restricted building without lawful authority. Entering a restricted building without lawful authority.
While the police open the doors.
While the police open the doors. And you're going on probation now, and you're getting time served, and the FBI has a right to have full access, mirroring. mirroring his computer. Everything he looked at, full mirroring on his computer.
Remember what I told you when all the stuff started? This is a complete and total, you know, destruction of the Patriot movement to the best of their ability.
Yep.
They called them to Washington, D.C. They implanted a bunch of FBI agents and provocateurs. They basically caused them to come in and enter Capitol buildings with the police, open it up, and beat them up, by the way, in the tunnels. I'll mention that, too. Yeah. And all of this stuff was setting it up to take the people that were the leaders of the Patriot movement who were supporting Donald Trump and take them out of the picture. And they've done that to thousands.
Make an example.
They did. Well, it's fear. It's all about fear.
And they said Mr. Goodwin, basically they finalized the deal with 60 days in prison on top of his already year that he'd been in, a year of supervised release when he's on probation, and a $2,500 fine and $500 restitution payment. So I guess he had to pay $3,000 for walking into the Capitol unauthorized and spend time served and spend another 60 days and spend a year in supervised probation and have his computer continually monitored. But if you're a downright criminal and you break into somebody's house and you steal their stuff, you go to jail and you get right back out with zero bond and you get a court date 60 days later. And if you don't show up, well, you know, guys, they're just criminals. They don't understand the laws. You can't really hold them accountable. As judges have said now, they don't understand the laws, so you can't hold them accountable to the migrants that come in. This is a very, very two-sided law system we're starting to watch now, bro.
Biden is interviewed by his doctors, and they say he's an old man who basically has a really bad memory. He can't be held accountable.
I mean, can we just use that excuse all the time now?
Yes, we can. Unless it's with somebody who they don't like, and they're going to drop the hammer on them. But by the way, I'm going to segue now. Here comes the segue. The gym supplements that are really working, the ones that are a complete waste of time.
Hey.
This is an article.
This would be an interesting article.
I'm going to get your feedback on this one. It says protein powders are really important, and they're good for you. So there you go. So I agree with that. You know,
depends on the quality of protein powder.
Yeah,
so let's be clear on that.
That's a fact. If you have a lousy protein powder that's filled with all kinds of chemicals and hormones, you probably don't need to put it in your body.
Well, no.
Our stuff comes out of we use New Zealand
Whey. New Zealand Whey, or in the GHI, we use the pea and rice protein. And remember this, guys, do research on where a lot of the whey is coming from, because a lot of these companies now have come up with all these different whey isolate and all these different names, fancy names for whey. And then what you find, if you do enough research, because I have done my research because I work with multiple manufacturing sites across the country with raw ingredients, a lot of these whey proteins, majority of them come from China. They are used as essentially a byproduct of cheese and milk production as the whey that's triple heated in most cases and is completely denatured. There is no useful purpose to it. It cannot be processed in the body. It doesn't generate any significant type of muscle growth.
Put in the sewage.
It's literally a waste. They don't know what to do with it. So they put it in 55-gallon drums. They sell it to manufacturers in the United States. They ship it across the ocean. It gets here. They use the whey. It runs, because it still has protein in it, it runs the nitrogen testing up so they can sit there and go, one scoop of this Mascator's 50 grams of protein. First off, your body can't even process 50 grams of whey protein in one sitting. Just be real on that. 20 to 30 grams of protein is the most you need in one sitting. Maybe 40 if you're a big male that's training really heavy and your nitrogen retention is pretty high. You can process it. 50 grams of protein in one sitting with whey protein, it's useless. And then people start complaining about having all these gut problems and digestion issues and gas and bloating and all these problems. And then you look at the product and you're like, dude, what are you even eating? A, it's got sucralose, which is a chlorocarbon. I mean, it's an unbelievably toxic sweetener. And B, you don't even know this whey protein is coming from. So, yes, you're right. Protein powder is good if it's high quality, if it's bioavailable, if it's clean, and it doesn't have a bunch of artificial sweeteners on it like we have at Health Masters with Fit Food or the GHI Clips.
Now, they say another one that's good is creatine.
Creatine's great.
Now, we
Here
we go.
Listen. It is processed properly, and it actually goes to the small intestines. So what happens is we have a buffered creatine that has a plant cellulose capsule that is time release. It's a great product, one of the best products you will ever try when it comes to creatine. In most cases, with creatine comes on the market, they always tell you got to do a loading phase. You got like 5, 10, 15, 20 grams a day. The problem with it is creatine is great until it mixes with hydrochloric acid in the stomach. When it does that, it breaks down to creatine 9, which is unbelievably toxic. The kidneys have to process it out. At that point in time, you get a lot of bloating and swelling, which will give you more muscle size and strength. However, it puts enormous strain on your kidneys. You don't need that much creatine to be as far as beneficial. The creatine that we have is 1,500 milligrams per serving, I think per capsule. It's designed to not break down until it gets into the small intestines, bypassing most of the hydrochloric acid. The small intestines is where creatine is actually absorbed. So you're taking a high-quality creatine, you're getting it to the small intestines, and you're allowing it to be absorbed right into the system without breaking down, and you get enormous results. You get much stronger. You get much fuller muscles without the bloating, without the swelling, without the creatinine increase in the kidneys. I can tell you right now from personal blood work, when before I knew about all this back in the day in my early 20s, I used to love creatine. I'd load up on creatine. And I got my blood work done one time, and I was running like 15 grams of creatine a day. And I was strong. It was working. I got my blood levels back. My creatinine and my kidney values were through the roof. They asked me, I said, what are you taking? I said, well, I mean a lot of protein. I said, I'm also taking a lot of creatine. Like, dude, your creatinine is not healthy. It's a dangerous level. Sure enough, backed off all of it, cut it out for a while, got blood work done about 3 months later. Kidney levels were perfect again. That made me realize you got to be very careful with that stuff when it comes to your kidneys and make sure you're taking it in the proper form and the proper way.
Now, we have ours. We bring ours in.
Comes from Switzerland.
Switzerland.
Yeah. It's the clean. I've tried probably 30, 35 creatines on the market over the last 20 years. This is the only one that I will take now. It's the only one that I'll sell.
Wow. Okay. Pre-workout formula. They say some are good, some are bad. Tell me the difference.
Well, Purple Stick's about to be here shortly. Those are fantastic.
Whatever. I'm with you guys.
They're here. They're coming. They're great.
They're supposed to be formula. They're supposed to be packaged like in a week.
They're getting packaged this week. I had a phone conversation, a conference call last night. The Purple Sticks are going to be the best pre-workout. You can stack them with an HGH Stimulate. Those two together, Purple Stick and HGH Stimulate.
Oh, wow.
Great pre-workout. Really clean. Great results from it, and then stack it with the Muscle Blast formula that we have as far as mix that and drink it intra-workout, which gives you the branched chain amino acids throughout the whole workout.
Yeah.
Great recovery, great pumps.
Okay, this is a little good article. It says fat-burning supplements. It's kind of down on fat-burning supplements, but now that's because they make all kinds of crazy claims. But reality is one of the best fat-burning supplements you're ever going to take is HGH Stimulate.
Yep, and also the berberine.
The berberberine
is actually really incredible.
As far as a lot of the other stuff, they say that they don't really like it.
Now, one of the reasons why they're saying that and they're not wrong about it is probably 95% of the fat burners on the market are complete trash. Well, they will work to some extent, but they're loaded with egregious amounts of caffeine. Some of them are 300, 400, 500 milligrams.
And plus, again, they're loaded with sucralose.
Yeah, and even if you take the capsules. Now, we do have one product on the market that we get from the same company as the creatine, and it's from Switzerland. It's called ProCut Core. It's got brown seaweed extract in it.
That stuff works.
And it actually helps to block the absorption of certain carbohydrates and fat in the small intestines. So if you're dieting and you're trying to eat really clean, it actually helps your body to process that more efficiently and not absorb the carbs. You stack ProCut Core with berberine, it will burn body fat if you're eating clean. I promise you that. And it doesn't have a bunch of caffeine in it. So you're not going to get all jittery and twacked out from taking stuff and feel horrible after you come off of it.
And now they give you some recommendations for exercise on here, which I'm going to be honest with you, I kind of disagree with. It said at least 150 minutes of moderate aerobic activity, such as cycling or brisk walking every week. That's about 2 hours. You can incorporate that into your workout with circuit training. Strength exercises two or more days a week. No, absolutely not. Strength exercises 4 to 6 days a week. Cardio, you can do 15 minutes a couple times a week, and you can go on a good walk, which is good too. This is 75 minutes vigorous aerobic activity, such as running. Absolutely not. Don't do the running stuff. It's unbelievable. Listen to me. If you want to run every once in a while, and you've got a good stride, and you've got good shoes, and you're not running on concrete, whatever. But don't get to the point where you want to run 4 or 5 miles every single day. I'm telling you what's going to happen. Knees, ankles, hips. You're going to have all kinds of health problems.
Ask all the Marines about running when they get older.
And it next says strength exercise two more days a week. That's not enough. So what I do, and this is awesome, like, and that's how I taught Austin how to train many years ago. What I do is I do circuit training. There was a guy, his name was Boyer Coe. He was a bodybuilder. You can look him up way back when. And I actually sat down with him one day at dinner at Burn Steakhouse, matter of fact, over in Tampa with a bunch of other guys. And it was after a bodybuilding contest in Tampa. He was a guest poser. He had won Mr. Universe several times. And he talked about circuit training, the importance of cardiovascular functioning with circuit training. So in other words, you set up like 3 or 4 exercises in a row with no rest, and you do one set with no stopping, one set on 4 different machines. It's like called a giant set or a circuit training set. And what it does, it gets the heart pumping really hard, and it gives you a cardiovascular workout along with your strength training. I've been doing that now, for decades now, and it really, really works well. And my cardiovascular system is still in great condition, but that's because I train like that, and I've trained like that a long time. What you don't want to do is this. Go in the gym, you get all wrapped up in bandages and ACE wraps and all the rest of the stuff you're going to do, sit there, warm up on bench press, wait 30 minutes and do another set.
Well, that's powerlifting. That's a whole other style, but that's not the best.
That is not cardiovascular exercise.
If you're a powerlifter and you're competing and that's what you're trying to do is really, really heavy weights, that's you got to have the genetics to do that with the bones and the elbows and the joints.
Oh, yeah. And the other thing, too, with that, be really careful with your shoulders and make sure they're warm up.
Yeah.
And because that can mess up your shoulders for the rest of your life. And just I'm pretty much all the power lifters that I know that really had at it for a long time, they've got all kinds of shoulder issues, hip problems, et cetera. Like a chest workout, you can do incline bench, like four sets of 12, no rest between sets with us. If you have a spotter with us, you know, with a workout partner, then you superset flies and dips. We do that on my exercise DVDs, and I show you how to do it. And what happens is the chest workout literally takes 12 minutes twice a week, and you're huffing and puffing when you get done with it. And you're sore. And so those are the kind of workouts that you can do to really incorporate a fast, hard workout. Because remember, it's not the duration of the stimulus, it's the intensity.
The intensity.
Really and it's got to go to failure, but you can't do it with heavy, heavy weight because then you end up having joint issues. Be careful.
One good way you can go to failure, this is the way we train a lot of times in the gym. Say, for example, you're doing bench press. You're doing inclines. I don't like flat bench anymore on my shoulders.
Flat bench is really,
bad really hard on the shoulders. Say you tear up, you get one warm-up set, you get one heavy working set, say at 225 and inclines, and say you get a third working set at, say, 275. Then after that third working set at 275.
No, don't do 275 if you're
not. Well, I'm not talking. I'm just giving numbers. I'm just giving numbers. Whatever the number you pick.
So yeah, pick for whatever you can do safely.
Then you drop back down with your workout partner. Then you basically strip the weights, pull about 30 to 40% of the weight off. Now, you have to do this with a partner or somebody spotting you and then go to failure on that, strip it down another 20, 30%, go down to failure. That kind of workout right there where you do drop sets to failure, at the very end, you're not going to be doing a lot of weight, but you will take the muscles to pure absolute failure, and you will get unbelievably sore, and it will make you grow.
There's two types of muscle fiber, fast and slow twitch.
Yep.
Okay? The fast twitch burns sugar. The slow twitch burns fat.
Yep.
And if you want to have maximum growth in the gym as far as increasing lean muscle mass, you've got to activate both sets of fibers.
Yep, exactly.
And that's why you go to failure. That's why you do the supersets. That's how that causes maximum hypertrophy.
Yep.
Or muscle growth. It really does. Okay, for now, in case you guys really didn't think we were both gym heads, now you know
we both are. We don't talk about it much on the show.
No.
We always have news articles on here. Also, too, in other news, this is another article that came out here on D3. Why I'm bringing this up is I want to give everybody a reminder the D3 is on sale for product of the week. For over 20% off right now for the last day today. I know I didn't bring that up at the beginning of the show. We'll send an email out on it, make sure everybody has the opportunity because it's such an important vitamin to keep in your arsenal. A new study in a cohort of 12,388 people showed that vitamin D exposure over 10 years could lower the risk of dementia by over 40%. They said there are 50 million people worldwide with dementia now, and they're expecting the numbers to triple by 2050. It's horrible. They said there's a synergistic effect with vitamin K2 and vitamin D3, and the imbalance can cause health issues. That's why it's so important. That's why we stack the K2 with the vitamin D and also, too, magnesium. Magnesium is a crucial mineral to have in the body. Whether you want to use a magnesium glycinate or you want to use magnesium brain food, which is my favorite, which we also have brain food in powder and we have it in capsules. Those two right there are very crucial nutrients as far as the vitamin D and the magnesium. So be sure to check those out and vote for what you want to see win tomorrow as well as product of the week. We have a few different products on there. But vitamin D, guys, it's not one of those questionable things anymore. Maybe I should take it. Maybe I shouldn't.
Take it.
Take a good quality with K2.
Test your blood.
Get your blood test on it. And you'll be shocked. In most cases, I've had so many people tell me they're shocked on how much D3 they actually have to take to get their blood levels back up to where they need to because of our diet. Just in general,
lack of sun.
People are inside now, especially after COVID. Everybody works remote half the time. Nobody wants to go outside anymore. Everybody's on the computer. And I get it. It's a different generation now. But that means that you've got to start taking precautionary measures to maintain overall D3. Because once you get them to a healthy blood range, you don't have to continually go maximum dosage all the time. You can start titrating the dosage down. I've seen people that where they'll go 20, 30,000 IUs a day on D3 for a few weeks. They'll get their blood tested. They'll be up to 60, 70. Then they'll go to a 10,000 K2, D3. They'll do one capsule every other day, and they keep their blood levels around 50 or 60 maintenance year-round. So there's a lot of ways to do it. The biggest thing is you got to take your own health and your own responsibility because I'll tell you right now, nobody's coming to save you, especially in the medical industrial complex.
I know, and you know, last night it was interesting. I saw a sunset with a friend of mine.
Sure, when the eclipse?
The eclipse. What a joke that was.
Sunset, okay.
I was watching the sunset and went down to the lake last night, and the whole sky was streaked over Tampa and St. Pete with geoengineering.
You noticed that too yesterday. Chemtrails are horrible.
They've been giving us a break here for a while, but
horrible.
I mean, it was like a grid pattern. And I looked at it, and I thought, I said, this is ludicrous. I said, look at this mess. And then I said, I would see this article today. It says, U.S. scientists are now shooting salt crystals in the atmosphere to block sun rays climate change, but did not tell the public to avoid the scrutiny. No,
you know what
blows my mind here, and that's kind of a bad thing to say. You know what really intrigues me? That sounds better. is that, you know,
what intrigues you, Dad?
I look up in the sky and we've got a checkerboard.
Yeah.
It's checkerboard. I mean, it's like a grid pattern. And you look at it and you go, that looks like that was intentional.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like you see the smoke coming out of the back of an airplane riding, you know, I love you in the sky. Somebody looks like they just put that up there, like to just do a grid. And then you have a friend come over and they go, oh, no. That's contrails from the back of a jet. I'm like, well, no, jets don't burn like that. They burn really clean and the contrail will dissipate within 500 feet after a jet goes by because it's basically water vapor. Oh, no. Those are contrails. They're not going away. Oh, no. You're a conspiracy theorist. No, I'm looking at them. No, you're not. You don't see anything. Don't look up. And I'm like,
don't look up.
No, and I'm like, what the heck is wrong with you? And then I say, no, I went to this lab and I took two water samples from the rain years ago. Here's my research. Both water samples from the rain after heavy spraying were loaded with barium and aluminum, which are both neurotoxins and immune system compromisers, especially the barium. And they're spraying us like we're bugs. Oh, no. They would never do that. I'm like, here are two separate lab tests that I have posted on my website. Read them.
Here's the lab test right here, center channel. Right there.
Yeah, they're right there.
There's right there. On the website, type in chemtrail in the search bar. You can look at it. This was purified.
It's rainwater.
This is pure rainwater. The results of the aluminum were 232 was what it was rated at. The EPA allowance, maximum allowance for aluminum in drinking water is 200.8.
Give you a so number on EPA that. Says don't drink it.
Barium was at 103. There is no amount of barium that's allowed in drinking
water.
Well,
no. The crazy part is, you know, I did these tests myself because I wanted to see once and for all. And then Dane Whittington, friend of ours, he's been on the show multiple times. He actually got it in an airplane. They had a plane. I was like, one of these planes that could take samples of the atmosphere at 40,000 feet, which is very difficult to do. And they followed one of these chemtrail planes. And they analyzed the crap coming out of the back of it. And it was barium and aluminum.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, barium is a high chemical reactivity. It's not found in nature as a free element. Barium doesn't exist by itself.
No.
It's unbelievably toxic. So how in the heck is it in that amount of levels of rainwater in rainwater?
No. And so when I see this, like I saw last night, I don't usually talk
about it. And we're not in an ag area either.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. No, but we're not in an area where
all the groves died.
There's nothing around here anymore.
But the point is that, you know, when you show this to people and you show it to them, you stand there and you look at it and they sit there and say, oh, it's not true. You kind of just scratch your head. I have so many pilot friends of mine. They're like, oh yes, that's all real. Yeah, we see it come out of the back of the planes all the time. They have nozzles on the back of the plane. Sometimes it actually blows it out. And a lot of times it's added to the fuel. So all of this stuff is craziness that we have right now going on in the world, but you're putting out CO2 because you're breathing and you have to be monitored. And we can't have beef anymore because they put out flatulence.
Right. And all the diesel trucks need to get 10 miles a gallon.
The diesel trucks need 10 miles a gallon.
GPF filters
on them. You know, and let's forget about China and how unbelievably polluted they are over there. We're going to pretend like we're
going to. Forget about China.
Oh, God.
We don't talk about China.
No. Don't go to China. I've been there. It's awful.
Because, you know, on the Earth, you know, apparently pollution from one country, it can't travel.
Oh, but the Earth is spinning at 1,000 miles an hour.
So
with 1,000 mile an hour
wind, pollution in China doesn't go anywhere. It just stays right there. And everything we do is also isolated. So as long as we do good right here, then and everybody eats crickets and drives electric cars and sits at home.
I got a question. What's your question? There's a certain segment of our group that's going to like this question.
Oh, boy. We're live.
Oh, I know. I'm a pilot. How do I land on a runway that's moving at 1,000 miles an hour?
Oh, my God, dude.
I'm just asking the question. How come it looks like it's not moving when you're coming down on it? And you're coming down, you line up, you're 10 miles out, you line up on the runway, and it never seems to move. Oh, but I can't ask that question because that would make me a person who asks questions, and shame on you.
Well, why do we have zero satellite imagery of Antarctica?
Oh, I had a friend say we have some down there, but we don't know if it's composite or not. They sent me an email on that.
Oh, did they? Please send me the imagery because NASA imagery. Said we don't.
Well, I didn't see the imagery. It could be a composite. And, you know, and the thing about it is that I'm not a flat earther, so don't go there with me, but something ain't right, okay? I mean, how in the world can I land on a runway moving at 1,000 miles an hour? And why on a calm, still day do I sit there in the airplane, you know, and nothing seems to be blowing me any direction, but the Earth's spinning underneath me at 1,000 miles an hour? Doesn't make sense. And why do they not teach us anything about that in flight school? Just thought I'd ask you that. I mean, why do we not have to compensate for curvature, and why do we not have to compensate or 1,000 mile an hour winds that should tear the wings off the planes. I'm just asking the question. I have no, well, actually, I kind of do know this Earth really isn't a round ball. And by the way, Sir Isaac Newton came up with that whole theory. He was a Kabbalist, Luciferian, synagogue of Satan, blood drinker, weirdo. Just thought I'd mention that too. So he's the one telling us all of this stuff. So who are you going to believe? As for me and my household, we're going to believe the Lord and what the Bible says about all these different scriptures about this. And I also realize this, you know, ask yourself a very, very specific question. Why would they lie to you about all of this stuff? Well, because they don't want you to believe that we were created by the Most High God. They want you to believe that you came from a rock. You think, were you really going here today, Ted? Yeah, might as well. I'm here now. Might as well finish this one out. Awesome. I'll give you another segue in just a second. Give me a second.
Segue.
Okay. Here's what they say we came from. You know, it's the Earth shows up. Now, they don't tell you how it shows up. It's a big bang.
It's a big bang.
Some big shows mysterious up. Thing goes boom, okay?
Nothing. Nothing it, created it, nothing.
But they don't talk about when God said, let there be light. Yeah, all of a sudden there was light, okay? So they don't talk about that. They don't talk about how it all started.
It just started.
So here's the Earth spinning around out here, you know, being dragged by the sun at a million miles an hour, spinning around at 1,000 miles an hour, and the precession of the equinox never changes. And then they say, and then we had a rock. They don't tell you where the rock came from. And boom, lightning hit the rock. Boom. And it created some type of peptide. And that peptide decided it wanted to be a human being. It jumps up and goes, I'm a peptide. I want to be a human. And it goes, wait a minute. It's a peptide. It's like a couple of amino acid strands together, right? And you sit there and you go, and it says, but that's going to take me 100 million years to make that. And so it's planning this. The peptide's planning to becoming a human.
Peptide.
And you're like,
peptide.
And I got to say a bad word. Who came up with this asinine theory? It's just stupid. A lightning hit the rock, creating a peptide, creating like an amoeba. Where'd the amoeba come from? Yeah, where'd that, they don't tell you that. Well, the amoeba is crawling around and it's saying, I'm not there yet. I still want to be a human. And you go, okay, you want to be a human and you're an amoeba. All right, that's nice. And it's the law of entropy and science says that nothing ever follows the most difficult path of resistance. It goes to the least path of resistance. If I pour my water out here, it goes down, not up. Because it's following the least path of resistance. But the amoeba is set on becoming a human being. Well, then it starts to create some slime in the swamp. And pretty soon, something living, they won't tell you what it was, crawls out of the slime, you know, billions of years later. And suddenly that slime goes, yeah, I've made it now. I'm a slime creature. But I want to be a human. It's so stupid. And this is the crap they funneled into the doggone mainstream media back in the 1800s.
Kids now, too. And here's the million-dollar question of that, too. If the continual idea is that everything keeps progressing up, 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 why are human beings getting so stupid?
Well, because
– why are we degrading so rapidly? Why is the lifespan
continuing to fall? Adam was in God's image.
Right. I know the answer. Here's the rhetorical.
This whole thing's rhetorical. The whole thing's stupid conversation. All right. But here's the question. Here's the million-dollar question. If monkeys decided that they wanted to be a human millions of years ago, why do we still have monkeys? Why did all the monkeys want to be a human? I mean, this is so – and so they lie about this stuff with Darwin, who, by the way, recanted his own theory of evolution before he died because I guess he didn't want to go to the next level of creation and find out what he did was so bad. And all this crazy stuff they talk about all the time, but it all started with Sir Isaac Newton, the Kabbalist, Luciferian, synagogue of Satan weirdo who they had to hide his papers because he was such a Satanist and didn't want anybody to read it because he was so messed up in the head talking about how the Earth is this globe spinning around at 1,000 miles an hour. Listen to me, friends. I'm a pilot. I don't know how the Earth is shaped. I'm not a flat earther, but I will say this to you. All these things are lies. I think it looks more like a spaceship, like that. That's what I think it is. Because they can't – the flat earthers can't explain – and don't send me letters. I don't want to hear the letters. They can't explain how the Earth and the sun rotates around the planet for the sunset last night. Oh, it disappears and comes right back. No. It's going. It's like a disc. That's what I believe it is. It's like a disc, and it goes under the disc, comes back up to the other side, and that's Antarctica on the other side of that disc. That's my opinion, okay? But I'm not a flat earther. And suddenly, you know, we're told, you go to Antarctica, we're going to shoot you down for your protection and kill you.
But we have 56 countries, military bases down there.
Supposedly.
For no reason.
And, you know, and all of a sudden we find out that this...
you get Antarctic Treaty back from the 60s.
Oh, yeah. All of a sudden you find out that we've got all of these. And you find out that Lucifer and his clan that were basically, you know, rebelling against God got locked up on prison planet Earth. They can't really leave here. And all of a sudden, like, well, is that where they're hiding? Is that where they are? I mean, are we being kept apart from this other group of entities that are on this planet with us? So these are the questions that I ask at night when I'm trying to sleep. I think, what is this? And why are all the renditions of NASA and the circular Earth all part of a artistic expression of what the Earth is supposed to look like. And then we have that unbelievable nonsense with the fake moon stuff back in the 60s. All of this stuff is being fed to you as a lie. I'm just letting you know, Stanley Kubrick pretty much came out and said this is just all a bunch of nonsense, because he was supposedly the one who did the filming of the NASA moon landing. And I have a friend of mine who was an electrical engineer at NASA during the launch. And he told me telemetry was shifted to south of the border, whatever that's supposed to mean, and that we never left Earth orbit. He told me that. Now, he was one of the top engineers at NASA. Now, whether you want to believe him, his name's Lee or not, I don't know. All I know is this. If they lie to us about all of this other stuff, including chemtrails and all the rest of it, and why as a pilot do I never have to take curvature into consideration? If I'm flying on an airplane, I'm in a round ball. If I'm going straight across the top of the round ball, and I have the thrust of capable plane to do this, I get higher and higher and higher and higher as I leave Earth's orbit. It doesn't do that. Just thought I'd mention that to you guys. And don't send me letters. I'm just telling you, I'm as confused as you are about this. Okay, this whole thing's a bunch of lies. All I know is this. God created the heavens and the earth. I know that. And without Christ, we wouldn't be here, because through Christ, all things are held together. And I know that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us right now. But that means we need to ask questions. And don't believe the lies. Look what NPR is saying now. The guy's going, yep, they're covering up Hunter Biden's laptop. They're covering this up. And that's all lies. Lies, 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 and more lies, and then more damnable lies. All these things are happening to us all of the time, and we have to ask ourselves questions. Why? Why are these things happening, and who is the man behind the curtain? Praise be to God that we have Jesus who came and delivered us from this mess. That's what I believe. What do you think, Oz?
Well, you got to remember, they haven't lied about everything. They told us the COVID shot was safe and effective, man.
That's true.
They told us it was effective.
They told us.
They said it was effective.
No, it is. No, they told us the truth. No, they did. And here's what's effective, okay? When DARPA did the COVID testing with the spike proteins back in the early 2000s.
Yeah,
every
2012
single,
with the super
every
program.
All their cats and all their ferrets died, and they said it's not safe for human beings. And they realized that it had an extreme effectiveness killing people. And let's not forget the remdesivir. You mentioned that earlier on the show. That was used as an antiviral for Ebola.
Yep.
Okay, and the antiviral for Ebola would liquefy organs, and after about 5 days, they had to stop using it because it was so poisonous, it was killing the Ebola patients worse than Ebola was killing them.
Yep.
And so all of a sudden, well, why don't we just give it to people come down with COVID and make it part of the routine treatment in the hospitals, and that way we have a much more effective way of treating their existence on this planet as we let them depart. This is crazy. I mean, think about what they're doing to us, guys. Think about how everything's a lie. And so that's why the word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I've told Austin this before, and I'll continue to say this, dude. I'm sure Austin feels the same way. The thing that separates this show from all of the rhetoric of the 90% of alt media that lies about stuff and being on CIA payroll, et cetera, is that the fact that, we keep Jesus Christ and a message of hope in this show every single day. Because we know we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and that this is the day the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. Does that mean to say that either Austin or myself are perfect? Absolutely not. Neither one of us have a halo to adjust. Just a newsflash. But the reality is this. We have to have hope in what God did for us. He changed the entire timeline by inserting Christ. When Christ died on the cross, the whole planet starts shaking and coming apart. It says that in the Word. And had God the Father, in my opinion, not stepped in, the entire planet would have turned into another asteroid belt. Because it's through Christ, all things, the entire universe is held together. That's why when you call on Jesus, if you're being demon attacked in the middle of the night, these guys leave you alone because they don't want him showing up. Just the chance that he would show up frightens them so badly, they leave you alone. The same thing with when they say that people get demonically oppressed or they end up having a alien abduction and they call in the name of Jesus, they're immediately put back into their homes. That's the power of the name of Jesus and the power of what he did for us. So that's the hope that we have in glory. We're not of this earth, whatever it is. We're of God. And when we are bought at a price through the blood of the Lamb, it changes everything. Always remember that, guys. By the way, I love praying for you. I pray for you all the time. Well, Wilson, what's your next story?
It's interesting. We're bringing up remdesivir. I just clicked on it because I hadn't read it up on a while. The listed side effects on Wikipedia says the most common adverse effects in people treated with remdesivir was respiratory failure and organ failure.
On Wikipedia.
And they talk about the Gilead testing in Africa.
Well, they've got to tell you what they're
doing. And I'm sitting there, respiratory failure. So you're giving a drug that the most common side effects is respiratory failure.
When a person can't breathe anyhow.
Two people that have a virus that causes respiratory failure. And then you wonder, oh, man, how did that happen? And, yeah, this is why, guys, I tell everybody to constantly do research, ask questions. Don't believe this crap they tell you all the time. Because, quite frankly, the longer you do enough research, the more you will find almost every single
more questions
thing
you'll ask.
Yeah, dude, the more you get more questions and answers, you dig into it. So, again, that's what we do on this show. We try to bring you guys questions and bring brought up. If you don't agree with us, that's totally cool. You don't have to agree with me. I don't agree with you on everything either. It's a free world, and we have the First Amendment for a reason.
But don't send us ugly letters.
No, I appreciate everybody's opinion on stuff. And sometimes people will send me letters that actually they'll bring up topics and they're good questions on it. Now, if you want to send me a paragraph, two paragraphs long about how you're right about everything and how I'm wrong about everything, that's totally cool. That's your opinion. I'm just going to delete the email because I don't have time to debate 50 emails a day on that topic. It just doesn't happen. But most people don't do that to me anymore. Everybody's usually pretty cool and respectful.
That's because you deleted and blocked everybody.
I did. Well, I try to block everybody unless they start getting really rude and start sending a bunch of really, you know, stupid stuff. So, again, that's what we're here for, guys. I appreciate the support. That's why we bring you this show every single day. If you agree with us, you do. If you don't, you don't. But I always encourage you, come to your own conclusion. That's the biggest thing. Do your own research. You find something you don't like, dig into it. You find something you do like, dig into it more. Find out the things that you know to be true and come to your own conclusion and find your own conviction on these topics, because that's at the end of the day, that's the biggest point, is you have to find your line. You've got to find your conviction. It's like the race when we used to race motocross back in the day. We used to always talk about on jumps and triples and tabletops. You always had to find your line. You're coming out of a corner and you're throttling out. You always had to have a line in the jump because you get ruts. You'd always get ruts in the faces of dirt bike ramp, dirt bike trucks. Sometimes it's all dirt. And what happens is you don't want to be with your back tire in one rut and your front tire in another rut because you get cross-threaded. You go sideways and you end up high side and it's a horrible wreck. You break collarbones and everything else. Find your line. Stick to your line, know your line, get educated in your line, and stay strong and healthy, my friends. That's what I tell you on this show. Keep your immune system strong. D3 10,000 on sale, product of the week. You need anything, you know where to get a hold of us. Over 20% off right now at healthmasters.com. And also check out the other products we have on sale and other kits available on the front webpage, including the Spike Protein Survival Kit and also, too, the Basic Healthy Lifestyle Kit. Be sure to check those out and vote for what you want to see win tomorrow. You guys have a fantastic evening. Stay strong, stay safe, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.
You know what the big complaint I get all the time is? Complaint. Cats.
Cats
and toxoplasmosis.
This is a relevant topic. In the scheme of things.
I was still thinking about something else. Hey, I love you guys, and I appreciate you so much. And if you can handle a cat, make sure you wash your hands if you're handling litter boxes. I appreciate you guys. I love you.
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio, 22,500 miles above the planet, this is the Global Star Radio Network.